first and foremost, would you help us pray that God would use us, that He would open the door He would have opened, that He would keep closed the doors that He would have kept closed. We certainly want to be used of the Lord. And then we ask that You would help us pray for safety on the roads. We don't know if you've spent much time on the road lately, but people have lost their minds on the roads. So if you could help us pray for safety, we would appreciate it. And then we're asking folks everywhere we go to help us pray for laborers. Jesus only had one prayer request in the Bible. Many times He admonished and encouraged us to pray, but He Himself had only one prayer request. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He might send forth laborers into His harvest. I'm praying that God would put it in your heart to reach others with the gospel, and that He would raise up an army of servants of God that would agree to do the same. So if you could help us make those things a matter of prayer, we certainly would appreciate it. Now, I'll tell you what I felt impressed of the Lord, preacher, to do. I just want to share a few thoughts from my heart today. I've only written down just a few things in the margin of my Bible here in the book of Joshua, chapter number 1. But I just want to share a few thoughts with you today before we dismiss in prayer. If you found your place in Joshua chapter number 1, and if you're able, would you please stand as we read the Word of God together? Of course, the context of the verses that we're preparing to read can actually be seen in verse number 1 of the chapter. By the time we begin our reading in verse number 2 of this chapter, Moses, the servant of the Lord, is dead. It is a Bible truth that God many times buries His workers, but His work never ceases to go on. And so God is in the process at this point of raising up another leader for the nation of Israel. And that, of course, is this particular book of the Bible's namesake, a man by the name of Joshua. God speaks to Joshua in verse 2 of this chapter and says, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Now we're going to be using our Bibles this afternoon, and therefore I trust you'll leave them handy. Let's bow our heads, shall we, for a moment of prayer. Father, what a wonderful day thus far You have given us here at the Gilead Baptist Church. I want to thank You for the wonderful morning service. I want to thank You for challenging Your people about their faith promise in the coming year. I pray in the days to come even more faith promise cards would come in to add to those that have already been given. Now, Father, I pray You'd bless and move in our time of Bible study today. We would all be very wise to pay close attention to these truths, believing that You would have us to not only hear them, but to heed them. Father, help us to be doers of Thy Word. Lord, I'm nothing without You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank You so much for standing. Please be seated. I want to call your attention, if I may, to the latter portion of verse number 8 of this chapter, as God speaks to Joshua and says, "For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have..." I want you to say those next two words with me. Can we say them together? Let's say them together. Good success. When you study your Bible, you'll discover that the word success is only mentioned one time. And it's right here as the last word of verse number 8 of Joshua chapter number 1. I'm very interested in that word success today. I don't know. I guess if I entitled our Bible study, I guess it would be "How to Be a Success in the Eyes of God." The reason that I added that little phrase, "in the eyes of God," because being a success in the eyes of God is a completely different thing from being a success in the eyes of the world. In the eyes of the world, they may look at the size of the car that you drive, or maybe the quality of the clothes you're wearing, or maybe the size of your bank account, or maybe your number of investments in the stock market. And the world would determine by the evidence of those investments whether or not you are a success. Well, I want you to know it's possible to be a success in the eyes of the Lord and a complete failure in the eyes of the world. And I don't know about you, I want to be a success in the eyes of my Heavenly Father. I don't know about you, but I want my life to count for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if God called me to preach, then I want to be a successful preacher. Successful in the eyes of God. If the Lord called me to lead a missions board, then I want to be a successful missions board leader. Successful in the eyes of God. Pastor, after pastoring 22 years myself, when God called me to the mission and when God began to open doors for me to stir people's and churches' hearts about world evangelism, I asked the Lord specifically. I said, "Lord, if I'm going to be the missions preacher, then I want to be the best missions preacher that I can possibly be. I want to be a success in the eyes of the Lord." But I want you to know our Bible study this afternoon not only applies to missions boards leaders and pastors of local churches or song leaders. No matter who you are, no matter what stage of life you're in, no matter what God has called you to do, you can be a success in the eyes of God. You can be a successful mother. In the eyes of God. You can be a successful father. In the eyes of... You can be a successful husband. You can be a successful wife. I don't know about you, but if I'm going to spend years on this earth, it is my heart's desire to be all that I can possibly be for the glory of God. I want to be a success in the eyes of the Lord. Have you ever stopped to think about the obstacles that stood in Joshua's way when it came to being a success in the eyes of God? Well, right here in Joshua chapter number 1 alone, you and I can gather from the text that grieving stood in Joshua's way. The first two verses of this chapter teaches us that Moses, the servant of the Lord, was dead. Now, Joshua was made up of those same flesh and blood you and I are made up of. He loved Joshua. Joshua was his mentor. He would have given anything that he had to keep Moses around longer. He loved Moses. Moses was his preacher. He loved the man of God. But Moses, according to verse number 2, God's servant is dead. And Joshua's heart was breaking. As a result of it, he was grieving. He had to overcome the obstacle of grieving if he was going to be a success. He had to overcome the obstacle of succeeding. How would you like to have been the one to follow Moses? Not me. I mean, think about it. Joshua had been there. He had witnessed God using Moses in a supernatural way. He had witnessed God using Moses as he raised his rod. And when God parted the waters of the Red Sea, millions of Israelites crossed on dry ground to the other side. Joshua had witnessed Moses smiting the rock to the point that God brought forth water out of great depths. But can I remind you at this point, Moses is dead. And now God turns to Joshua and says, as I was with Moses, now I'm going to be with you. He had to overcome the obstacle of succeeding one of the greatest men of God that ever walked across the pages of the Word of God. There was the obstacle of succeeding. There was the obstacle of leading. You've read about the children of Israel. You've seen how hard-headed they were. How would you like to have been the one in charge? Sometimes Cassie and I will go to a church pastor, and it's certainly not going to be that way when we leave here. But sometimes we get in our van and head down the road, and I'll turn to Cassie and I'll say, "Woo! I'm glad I'm not in charge of that crowd." Amen? Well, Joshua would be the next leader of the nation of Israel. How would you like to have led Israel at this point in their history? But nevertheless, God speaks to Joshua, and He reminds him, "As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee." And something has always intrigued me about this chapter. God not only calls Joshua in these few verses of Scripture, but He equips Joshua as well. And here's what I want to leave with you before we leave this afternoon. God gave Joshua three things. And those three things enabled Joshua to be a success. Now, here's the great thing about the truths that I'm getting ready to share with you. Just as God gave Joshua three things that enabled him to be a success in the eyes of God, God has given you and God has given me those same three things. So I want you to know this afternoon, no matter where you're at in your walk with Jesus, you can be a success in the eyes of God. You can be all that God calls upon you to be. You can be a success in the eyes of God. Three things God gave Joshua that enabled him to be a success. Number one, God gave Joshua His written page. God gave Joshua as much as they had then of the Bible. Can I prove it to you? Look at verse number 7. Verse number 7, God speaks to Joshua, the son of Nun, and says, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do," watch your Bible now, "according to what all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Now, God's not through. God, in verse number 8, wants to drive this point home by mentioning it not once, but no less than 2 times, back-to-back verses of Scripture in God's inspired, inerrant Bible. God doesn't want Joshua to miss it. And you can rest assured, ladies and gentlemen, God doesn't want you, and He certainly doesn't want me to miss it. So He addresses the same subject again. He is speaking of His written page in verse number 8. God continues to say to Joshua, this book of the law. What is that? That is as much as they had then of the Word of God. As much as they had then of the Bible. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Now, notice what God says to Joshua in the latter portion of verse 8 again. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. When is that? Once you've read your Bible. Once you've studied your Bible. Once you've not only heard but heeded your Bible. Once you have determined to live the Bible. Once you have made much of the Word of God, once you've heard the Word of God preached, once you've heard the Word of God taught, amen? For then, God told Joshua, shalt thou make thy way prosperous. And notice He uses the word then again. And then thou shalt have what? Good success. Do you see what God gave Joshua that enabled him to be a success? Not in the eyes of men, but rather in the eyes of God. God gave Joshua His written page. And can I remind you this afternoon here at the Gilead Baptist Church, you and I have an advantage today that even Joshua did not have then. You and I have more than just a portion of the Word of God. We have the complete, inspired, inerrant, infallible canon of Scripture. You and I have all God wanted men to know when it came to His Word. God has given us His written page. And the more I read and the more I study my Bible, the more I am absolutely, positively convinced there is no way we can be a success in the eyes of God without making much of the Bible. A wise preacher said to me one time, I have never forgotten it, make much of the Bible, and the Bible will make much of you. Can I share a thought right along those lines with you? I want you to turn in your Bible, if you would please, to Jeremiah chapter number 15, and I want you to look with me in verse number 16. Jeremiah chapter number 15 and verse number 16. I won't take time to give you the entire context of the verse that I'm getting ready to read, but when you study your Bible, as you find your place in Jeremiah chapter 15, you'll discover that God called the prophet Jeremiah to be His spokesman in the midst of a mighty dark day for His people. And boy, what God called Jeremiah to do, there's not a lot of preachers that would have been able to finish the task. But God used Jeremiah in a wonderful way. I wonder what it was that God used to make Jeremiah a success in the eyes of God. And again, I'm saying a success in the eyes of God because in many men's eyes, Jeremiah was a complete failure. Let me put it this way. Jeremiah would have probably never made the front page of the Sword of the Lord. And I love Dr. Smith, and I love the Sword of the Lord. I'm just telling you, Jeremiah probably would have never made, in his day, the cover. In the eyes of men, the prophet Jeremiah was a complete failure, but he was a success in the eyes of God. I wonder what God gave him that enabled him to be such a success. Well, I think you'll discover when you dig into the truths of the book of Jeremiah, God gave the prophet Jeremiah the same thing that he gave Joshua. God gave him his written page. Now, have you found your place in Jeremiah chapter 15? Notice what the man of God said in verse 16 of that chapter. Jeremiah said, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." What is he speaking about? He's talking about as much as he had then of the word of God. Jeremiah tells us here in this single verse of Scripture what you and I who are saved today ought to be doing with the word of God. First of all, we ought to desire the Word of God. Did you notice what Jeremiah said? He said, "Thy words were found." Well, if you find something, it's because you're looking for it. Amen? And if you're looking for it, you ultimately desire to find it. We ought to desire the Word of God. Jeremiah says we ought to devour the Word of God. He writes, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them." It reminds me of what Job said in Job chapter 23 and verse 12 when he said, "I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." What's Jeremiah saying? What's Job saying? What physical food is to our physical bodies, the Word of God is to the inner man, that part, that soul, that part that the Holy Ghost of God lives inside of. We need to devour the Word of God. I needn't think I'm going to be a success in the eyes of God and go day after day after day and never pick up my Bible, never read my Bible, never spend any time in Bible study, never come to Wednesday night prayer meeting and hear the preacher lead in a Bible study. If I'm going to be successful in whatever line of work I'm in for the glory of God, I'm going to have to make much of God's written page. Amen. Jeremiah said we ought to desire it. He said we ought to devour it. And then he said we ought to delight in it. The latter portion of verse 16 of Jeremiah 15 says, "And thy word was unto me," what? "The joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." Now that certainly doesn't mean that Jeremiah never got discouraged. Can I show you one time Jeremiah got discouraged and he wanted to quit? Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 20. Jeremiah chapter number 20, and notice what the Word of God says beginning in verse 7 rather, of Jeremiah chapter 20. Jeremiah writes, "O Lord, Thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived." Do you see what's going on here? Some way or another, Jeremiah had gotten so discouraged that the enemy had convinced him that God had completely deceived him. "O Lord, Thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived." He goes on to say in the latter portion of verse 7, "Thou art stronger than I and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily, everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out, I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily." Jeremiah would stand and preach the word of God and they would openly mock him. And this wasn't something that happened every now and then. Once or twice a quarter, or even once a month, Jeremiah goes to great lengths to teach us here. It is something that's going on every day. Can you imagine trying to stand and preach the Word of God and people that you are trying to save from certain destruction mocking you openly as you stood and simply did what God called you to do? But yet that is exactly what's going on. Notice what it leads to in verse 9. Jeremiah says, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name." Do you know what Jeremiah is doing in verse 9? Jeremiah is quitting. He is absolutely quitting. He is saying in verse number 9, "I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. I'm through preaching. I'm through soul winning. I'm through handing out gospel tracts. I'm not tithing anymore. I'm not going to church. I've had it. It's over. I absolutely quit." But if you'll look right there in the middle of verse 9, there's a little three-letter word, "but." God, listen, God butted in Jeremiah's resignation. "But," here's what the man of God said, "his word was in mine heart." See, he had spent so much time with the Word of God that had gotten beyond his head, and it had found a lodging place in his heart. "But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. And so when I read and study these verses, I see a resignation. Jeremiah said, "I quit," verse 9. "But I see an inspiration. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and the inspiration led to a continuation. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." You know what Jeremiah was saying? "I wanted to quit, but there was something on the inside. The Word of God, it burned as a fire shut up in my bones. I'd try to lay down at night, dismiss the ministry, dismiss the work of God, but there was something bigger than me on the inside that caused me to get up the next day and preach again and sing again and go soul winning again and give a missions offering again and be faithful again." God gave Jeremiah that He gave Joshua. And what He gave these men, He has given us today. And it's God's written page that enables us to be a success in the eyes of God. Now, I spent more time, as you find your place again in Jeremiah chapter 1, on this first point than I certainly will in the last two. But I felt impressed of the Lord to do that, because, you know, I'm finding everywhere I go, people will come up and they'll say something like, "Brother Carl, I just don't have the zeal. I just don't have the fervency that I one time had. I'm just not as interested. What do you think? What do you think is wrong?" And if I ever ask someone, "Well, how much time are you spending in your Bible?" You say, "Well, preacher, is it really that fundamental?" It really is. Make much of the Bible, and the Bible will make much of you. Are you reading your Bible? Listen, I thank God for other books. Your pastor is an avid reader. I admire that. I have to work at that myself. And I know the importance of reading other books. The Apostle Paul not only talked about the parchments, but he talked about the other books. And I realize that. But other books were written for our information. This book was written for our transformation. There's no other book like this book. If you want to major on a book, major on this book. Amen. Because it is only as you and I make much of the Bible that the Bible will make much of us. And so God gave Joshua his written page. Secondly, God gave Joshua not only his written page, but He gave him His wonderful presence. Notice the exclamation of His presence in verse 5. God says to Joshua, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life." And I like the way God put it. God said this, "As I was with Moses." Now I wonder why God said that. God could have just said, "I will be with you." Don't worry, I will be. That's not what God said. God said, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. As I was with the one that raised the rod, at the moment I parted the waters of the Red Sea, thus allowing the nation of Israel. You rest assured, Joshua understood why God used those words. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. As I used Moses, now I will use you. As I touched Moses, now I'm going to touch you. As Moses was used of me, now you're going to be used of me. And here's why. It's not Moses' presence that's going to separate you from the rest of the crowd. It's my presence. Moses is dead, but I will never die. And isn't it a blessing to know as we consider the exclamation of His presence that we serve a God this afternoon that is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore? I submit to you that's the same God I serve. That's the same God you serve. And we can be a success in His eyes because as He's promised to be with Joshua at this point, He's promised to be with us. The exclamation of His presence, verse 5. You see the extent of His presence in verse 9. God said to Joshua, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee. Where? Whithersoever. I'm so thankful that doesn't say, for the Lord thy God is with thee when you go to church. Now, I'm glad He's with me when I go to church, but if that was the only place that He was with me, what am I going to do when I go to work on Monday morning? He's with me, according to the text, whithersoever we goest, the extent of His presence. What does the Bible teach us in the book of Hebrews? Be content with such things as ye have, for He has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. I'll tell you a quick story. I'll give you my last point quickly and we'll be dismissed as we follow the pastor's lead. Cassie and I got married and I was serving in the United States Navy. And 10 days later, after we got married, I left on a 6-month deployment. That deployment ended up being extended because a fellow by the name of Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait from Iraq and a little thing called Desert Storm broke out. We were already, I was serving on board the USS Dwight D. Eisenhower at the time, and we were already in the Mediterranean Sea. And our president at that time, George H.W. Bush, sent us through the Suez Canal and we went on into the Red Sea. And when Desert Storm first started breaking out, we flew sorties from the flight deck of the Dwight D. Eisenhower in and out of Kuwait. And what was initially started as a 6-month deployment really turned out to be about an 8-month deployment. Month deployment. So after a while, they sent the John F. Kennedy, another aircraft carrier, into the Red Sea to relieve us, and we turned around and we went back home, come across the Atlantic and back to our home port in Norfolk, Virginia. Well, I had already made 2 deployments overseas on the aircraft carrier, and I was due to go to shore duty. And so I went to shore duty. I went to my command career counselor, rather, to talk about going to shore duty. And I'll never forget what he told me when I tried to explain to him, look, I've been at sea now for 4 years. My rotation is actually 3 years at sea, 2 years on shore. And I said, I'm a year over. I just got married. I got married and 10 days later left for 8 months. I haven't been able to spend any time with my wife. Please, is there any shore duty billets available in all of America? And he said, oh no, there's no shore duty available in all of America. Can you? I have a hard time believing that, preacher. In all of America, there was no shore duty. But, he said, there is one duty station that I think you might be interested in. I said, really? He said, yes. We're at Pier 12 right now here at the Norfolk Naval Base, but down the road here at Pier 2, there is a sub-tender. It's called the USS L.Y. Speer. Never goes anywhere, never does anything. It's like a floating workshop. The people on board the L.Y. Speer just service the crew that's on the submarines. It really is. They have a lot of machinists on board, and they help repair submarines. It never goes anywhere. I said, it never goes anywhere? Oh, no. It never goes anywhere. In fact, you'll be able to keep your sea pay, which that was another $150, $200 a month. May not seem much now, but it was a whole lot of money back then in the 90s. And so I said, well, man, that sounds like where I need to go. Sign me up. I said, it never goes anywhere. It never goes anywhere. And it didn't until I checked on board. And I still remember working one day and the captain coming over the 1MC and saying, pack your bags, we're leaving for the Persian Gulf. I had just gotten back from the Persian Gulf. And the whole reason I got off the aircraft carrier to go to the L.Y. Speer is because this is the ship that never goes anywhere. So I came home. Cassie was working a little part-time job, and we cried and cried over that for days, and we began to pray, and God had called me to preach at that time, and I had started going to Bible college at night at the Tabernacle Baptist College in Virginia Beach, Virginia. We called every preacher that we thought could even remotely get in touch with God, and we begged those preachers, would you please help us pray that God would cancel these orders so I don't have to go back to the Persian Gulf. I'd already been twice. And now they're telling me they're sending me back. And did you know God answered that prayer? God answered it by saying no. And no is an answer just like yes is an answer. And so I packed my bags for the third time and went back for another deployment to the Persian Gulf. But I want to tell you something. God taught me more about His presence during those next 6 months than I ever learned in a Bible college. And I'm not against Bible college. I'm all for Bible college. But there's things about the ministry and the work of God that can never be learned in Bible college. God taught me more about what I'm preaching about right now. His wonderful presence on the backside of nowhere than He ever did sitting in a classroom. And I'm telling you, I wouldn't take it. Did it hurt? Oh, it hurt. All I wanted to do was spend time with my wife. But He showed me during those next 5 months, Cassie at her best is only human. And she will never be able to be there for me all of the time. He taught me those next 5 months when I didn't have a mama, He could be my mama. When I didn't have a daddy, He could be my daddy. When my brother or my sisters were nowhere to be found, He could be a brother and a sister to me. You know what God gave Joshua that enabled Joshua to be a success? God gave him His wonderful presence. And I want you to know God's given you His wonderful presence. You may not know what tomorrow holds, but you and I know who holds tomorrow. And He has promised to never leave us and to never forsake us. He gives us His wonderful presence. Then one other thing, and we're through. God gave Joshua His written page, verses 7 and 8. God gave Joshua His wonderful presence, verses 5 and 9. But then, God gave Joshua His winning power, Look at the latter portion of verse 5. There is a little phrase right here that I trust God will allow to find a lodging place in our heart. It is that phrase that reads, I will not fail thee. Can I say this and I'm through? Men at their best will fail you. If they're good men, certainly they would not do that intentionally. But men at their best will fail you. I would tell the churches that I was blessed to pastor and try to remind them often, as I'm sure your precious pastor does you, please, please remember he is only human. Please remember that he would never intentionally let you down. He would never intentionally fail you. But he's a human being. Sooner or later, he will let you down. What do you do, preacher, when you get up on a Monday morning and you have three of your faithful church members having surgery at the same time? He isn't the Holy Spirit. He can't be in every place at one time. He, at His best, will fail you. You have a wonderful preacher's wife, and I say again, what a great team they are, but they are only human. As you follow their lead, and by the way, the Bible commands us, it teaches us, to do that, follow the faith of your man of God. But as you follow His faith, keep your eyes on Jesus. Because He at His best will fail you, but God will never fail you. You want to know why you can be a success in the eyes of God? Because He's given you His winning power. Now, I will say this before we close in prayer. Unfortunately, Brother Ricky, I don't think these points work in ping pong. But I think they'll work in every other area of your life. Would you bow your head with me? Let's pray together, shall we? Lord, I am so grateful for Your Bible. For Your inspired, inerrant, infallible, impeccable Word. Lord, I'm thankful this evening that it's indestructible. I thank You that it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And we would all be very, very wise tonight to not only read it, but to heed it, to believe it, to live it. Lord, every one of us ought to have the same idea about the Bible. If the Bible says it's right, then it's right. If the Bible says it's wrong, it's wrong. It doesn't make a difference what the politicians say. It doesn't make a difference what the liberal media of our day says. If the Bible says it's wrong, it's wrong. It's not up for discussion, in my opinion, Lord. So I'm just going to believe the Bible and thank You for Your written page. And then, Lord, I'm so thankful for Your wonderful presence. The fact that You have promised never to leave nor forsake. And then I'm very, very grateful for Your winning power. I'm so thankful that what You said to Joshua, today You say to me and to each of us, through Your inspired, inerrant, preserved Word, I will not fail thee. Thank You, thank You, thank You, my Father, for enabling us to be a success in Your eyes. In Jesus' name.